Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mini.
And we're doing things a bit differently today. You know, if you're looking at the screen right now, not the audio kind of feed, you'll notice that we're doing this virtually again, which takes me back. I don't know about you, George, but it takes me real back.
Yeah, it's a little bit reminiscent of the COVID days, but... You know, we are in a hybrid working environment, and today was a non-office day. So we had other stuff to do in the office yesterday. So today we decided to do this remotely because we can.
Because we can. You know, that's kind of the world we live in now. You need to be flexible and adaptable and all those agile. And
well, you're in the office, right?
I'm in the office, yeah, because I to be honest, I had a little bit of some issues with my setup, and I was like, I know the perfect place, office. Which is always working.
Is it lonely there on Friday?
Yeah, I was like three people from the marketing team, so shout out to my fellow soldiers in marketing who are here. But, you know, it's kind of, I like being here. I don't mind so much.
No, it's not too bad. I like being in the office. So, you know, most other people do too.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get back to, 5 days a week at some point. But right now we're doing hybrid.
For sure. So today's kind of special. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that today is World EV Day.
Yes.
And what does that mean to somebody who doesn't know what EV Day is? What is it? What are we celebrating today?
Well, this is World EV Day on the day of recording, which is the 9th of September. So,
correct. Yeah. So you had a few interviews today where I think you're on the news this morning. Yes. Yeah. And I saw you speaking about living with an EV, and something that was interesting that came up was, you know, what is the, since it's been about a year now since you've had an EV. So like, how has it been for you? Would you say, the experience, do you regret it? Is there anything that you want to change? Is there anything that you want to kind of spotlight?
Definitely don't want to change anything. I would do it again. The only thing I keep on kind of saying is the car is just too expensive. That's the only problem, is the cars are too expensive. You know, but other than that, I don't see myself going back, to be honest. I don't see myself going back.
Maybe not as a primary vehicle, but, you know, we will still, I think there's still some options out there that will still tickle your fancy.
yeah, I don't know. You know, I've always wanted to own a Porsche 911. But now that I've experienced the acceleration of an EV, maybe a Porsche Taycan, I don't know. Taycan, how do you say it? Taycan.
Yeah. You've driven that too. How does it compare to your I-Pace?
Well, I drove the base model, which is comparable.
Okay.
I think the build quality of an I-Pace and the build quality of the Taycan is similar. It's very, very much the same. Also, although one's a two-seater, the one's a, you know, proper four-seater. So, you know, that's the thing you got to live with if you want a Porsche like that, is you don't have much space in it.
Yeah. Speaking of fuel types, so today's episode is the fill-up episode. So we'll be talking about the liquid pot of gold at the end of the tunnel month of September, or the beginning of September, rather. So as you know, in September, there's the second consecutive month that the fuel price has gone down since the whole war that's happening up in Europe. And we kind of getting to a point now where we're returning to some of the numbers that we're seeing before. So I thought maybe let's talk about what it costs to actually fill up a car now that things have changed. I don't know if your fuel consumption has changed as a result of, I don't know, Eskom and load shedding. But for the rest of us, I'm sure it has. Have you experienced any big change in the price that you're paying to fill up in your EV?
No, I mean, in my house, because I've got solar, I very rarely dip into Eskom, but I do. I can't say I don't, because you know, sometimes it's cloudy, overcast, and then especially if you drive a lot, sometimes like at the moment my car's sitting in the garage charging, using the solar, but it was on 30% when I parked it this morning after that interview. And then I had to run to another meeting, and I saw on 40%, and then I had to run to another meeting, and I've got back and it's on 30%. So it's charging at the moment. So more, and it says it's going to take about 8 hours to fully charge. So I would imagine I'm going to run into Eskom's power, because when the sun goes down, I don't allow it to deplete my house's batteries. I'm forced to switch over. So anyway, long story short, from an Eskom price point of view, per kilowatt hour. So because I supplement power using the solar, per kilowatt hour, if I use a lot, what I've noticed is that the municipality, because remember, the municipality supplies, the Eskom supplies the municipality that supplies your house. There seems to be different tiers depending on how much you consume. Like if you reach a certain tier, I've seen it go to almost, I think it was R3 a kilowatt. But at the moment I seem to be paying around about R2.60, I think it is, per kilowatt.
R2.60. So I remember the first time when you just got your EV and we did the calculations, it was sitting around R2.30. So you're saying that it's gone up by about 30 cents in the last about like year and a bit, in terms of your consumption.
I would imagine it's gone up approximately, you know, that amount. Let me share with you the last electricity token that I bought. Here it is. I bought 822 kilowatt hours. And if I do the maths on that, that costs R2,000. So 2,000 divided by 822.1, I paid R2.43 per kilowatt hour. So it fluctuates.
R2.43.
Yeah.
So it fluctuates a little bit, but it's about a 13 cents increase since then, which is not bad. In other news for the rest of us who are still using dinosaurs to fuel our cars. in September, our fuel has gone down quite substantially. So in August, for 95 petrol, we're going to use inland numbers now just to kind of make it easier for everyone. 95 was 25.42 in August, and now it's going down to 23.28. 93 was 26.31, and now it's 22.95, which is a significant drop. And then, you know, paraffin and 0.05% diesel, as well as 0.005% diesel also gone down. But with just the, you know, petrol, you know, being that much, it's quite significant for people. And I think motorists are going to be a lot happier going to fill up now as a result of this. It's definitely welcomed. Do you think it's going to keep going down as the year progresses, or are we seeing like a new price of fuel?
It's anybody's guess. I don't see it coming down in the short term, to be honest. It's just it's not the world we live in anymore at the level of the teens, given, you know, what's happening in Europe. And it's just, I just don't see it coming down significantly. Obviously I'd want it to come down, but I just don't see it coming down significantly until the, you know, world stabilizes up in Europe. It's what we live with at the moment. I mean, a decrease in fuel for 95, because it's just over two rand, right? A 60 liter tank, that's going to be R120.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So I think there's, you know, we've done kind of a little bit of calculations with regards to how much it is now. So if you have a 45 liter tank, for instance, you're now saving about R151 when you're filling up, which is quite substantial. If you are using 95, you're saving about R92. So, you know, it starts to add up in the long term if you're filling up, let's say, four times a month. all the way. You're saving almost 400 rand if you're using 95, and almost 600 rand if you're using 93 or 45 liter. Obviously, the bigger the tank, the more saving you make. So that's kind of what you need to kind of consider now is, I made the mistake of actually filling up the day before the change happened.
Why would you do that?
It's funny, I had a conversation with somebody at work who was like, the fuel's going down, the fuel's going down. And I had to get home and I had like 40 Ks or something. And home's like 20 Ks, it's not too bad, but I just hate seeing that thing go down. And I started to fill up and then I realized, why is it so empty today? Then I remembered, oh, damn, the fuel's going down tomorrow. So I made that mistake. I made that mistake, but
It's one of those
it
things. So
happens.
there you have
Yeah,
it.
so.
Those are the different prices and fuel
Exactly.
savings for the different size tanks. So 45 liter, 60 liter, 80 liter, and as Wendy put it, those are the prices it costs to fill the tank. 1,800 rand for an 80 liter tank. Most of us drive a 60 liter tank car.
Yep.
1,300 rand, 1,400 rand for 95, and 1,400 rand for diesel. So, if you're doing a tank a week, if you do this math, so tank a week at 1,400 rand, that means you're paying in excess of 5,000 rand a month in fuel.
And in August, you're spending almost 500 rand more than you would be in September. So definitely starts to add up when you look at it in context of, in the long term. And it's, yeah. I would have thought that as a result of the increase in fuel, people would be buying less cars, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
No, not in South Africa. We've never seen that trend. Never.
We did see an increase though in people being interested in electric vehicles and hybrid technology vehicles. So we did see that kind of shift, but I'd like to see the numbers in terms of sales of those vehicles, specifically as a direct result of the months.
Was the search shift, though, as a result of the fuel, or was it just a case of, naturally people are now beginning to think about shifting to EVs? I mean, I didn't see a massive correlation between fuel price increases and EV search, did you?
I did when you look at it in a long-term basis, but specifically if you're looking at like the days when it was announced that it's going up by 2 rand, for instance, not so much. I think there's a few things that impact consumers. I don't think consumers look at one thing specifically in South Africa and then they're like, that's it, I'm making the change. It is 2 rand. It's not like a 20 rand difference where it's going to be substantially changing your lifestyle. I think there's still a little bit of a few nuances there, but you are right. I mean, there's, we went to FOM a few weeks ago and we saw that Mercedes releasing four new EVs. So all that marketing and the conversation and all the advocates kind of speaking about how it's like to live with an EV, I think has a huge impact on that shift as well. I don't think it's just one thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you juxtapose filling up an ICE vehicle with fuel versus filling up, let's say, my Jaguar I-Pace with electricity, it's a significant decrease in saving. The trouble is that it's neutralized by the price of the car, to a large degree, and you've got to actually make that capital investment up front in the EV, in order to then see the savings in the long term. Yes, it's worth it in every way, low maintenance costs, lower fuel costs on a monthly basis, but you've got to finance that up front. So if you're gonna go for an EV, I promise you it'll change your life, but you've got to take into account that you're going to pay more for the car up front.
When is it going to happen? We've kind of had discussions about this before in terms of like, okay, now we're finally getting to a point where people can start affording these vehicles. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence with regards to it happening within the next 5 years, but I think it's just because we don't have enough players in the game yet who, and this technology is just, it's still developing, and every 2 years we're seeing it develop that much quicker. But until we're getting like, more options, it's going to be difficult for us to make that switch, in my opinion.
I mean, okay, so if we had to really, I was speaking to Gareth Edwards on ENCA this morning about this, and that is, If we look at the car park in South Africa, which is approximately 7 to 8 million passenger vehicles, right? That's not all the trucks, buses, and all that stuff, which takes us, you know, way over 10, 11 million vehicles. But 7 to 8 million passenger vehicles driving around the roads of South Africa, right? Last month, what did we sell? New passenger car sales, August. I think it was around 20 something thousand for South Africa.
Could have been more, like 30.
Yeah, but you've got to take out exports and stuff like that. Okay, call it new passenger vehicle sales, 31,269, increasing by 14% compared to August 21. Okay, so call it 30,000 for argument's sake.
Yeah.
Per month. Mm-hmm. That's 360,000 per year, right? Mm-hmm. At the moment, we are selling probably in the region of about 400 EVs per month, I think. Per year, I think. So we've got it. The first objective is to replace the sales of 30,000 a month, which is 360 a year, with 100% EVs. Okay, so currently we're at about, you know, 1% of the sales being EVs. We've got to get to 100% of the sales being EVs. That is going to happen from about 2035 onwards, right? So we've got a long road to go before new sales are actually 100% EVs. Once 100% of that 30,000 a month is EVs, then we've got to work through the system. So all of the cars on the road, the 7 to 8 million have to be replaced with EVs. And once we're at 100% penetration, 360 a year, you can see that it's going to take 20 years at that rate for the car park to be replaced. So if we take 20 years from 2030, that means only 2050 will we see 100% car park penetration. Maybe 2040. We'll see 50% penetration into the car park.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a long time. This is not an overnight thing.
So, and you know, well, it can be. Dare I say, I think it can be.
Overnight.
So if you, well, not overnight, but it can be quick. It can be swift. If you look at Sweden, for instance, in 2019, I think the market share for EVs there was 26%.
Market share in terms of we have to distinguish between market share in terms of new vehicle sales, okay?
New vehicle sales, yes.
And then car park penetration. So you're talking about new vehicle sales.
Correct. And they did this. It was quite strategic how they got to that point. I think Sweden was very stringent with regards to the environmental goals. That's kind of what drove this kind of this change. But what they did is essentially, if you had to go and buy an EV in 2019 and onwards, the government essentially paid for 25% of the vehicle's actual price, was subsidized by the government as an incentive for you to do that. And you know, it's sort of things like that which start to, you know, kind of change people's, not necessarily perceptions, but the, you know, incentivize people to start buying EVs. So I think if things stay the same, 2050, sure. But I think we're going to get to a point where the government's kind of being forced to start incentivizing people in different and smart ways. But 2035 is where I'm most concerned about, because, you know, as you've pointed out a few times, that's when the trouble starts to begin.
Yeah, I mean, the longer we take, the more the you know, the crunch comes. I still don't think it's possible to do it in 10 years in this country. It's going to take longer than that. That shift takes a long, long time. Once it starts happening, and yes, it gains momentum. So I'm looking at it from a linear point of view. But I'm looking at a chart here of the fleet change, and it looks like the 50% mark is reached by 2040. So 50% of the car park in the country is EVs by 2040. In terms of new sales, right, the 50% mark, the 100% mark is reached by 2045.
Okay. That's in South Africa, right?
That's all South Africa, yeah. Yeah.
That's quite interesting.
So there's an aggressive approach where we reach 100% of sales by 2032. Okay, so that's more realistic in terms of the EU's deadlines of 2030 to 2035. But until 2032, we'll still be selling fossil fueled cars. In terms of that doesn't happen overnight story. So given that trajectory of, let's call it by 2032, 100% of vehicle sales every month are EVs. That would mean that we reach 50% in terms of penetration by approximately 2036.
Okay.
50% penetration by 2036 and 100% penetration by approximately 2045-ish.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. I have a question and I'm going to pose it to you because I think you may have thought about this before. In a scenario where we get to the 50%, what does that mean for the fuel price for like petrol or diesel? Do you think we can get to a point where there's just too little supply for it to be cheap? Or are we going to see another massive increase as a result of supply and demand, which might even drive more people to buy EVs as a result of that? Or do you think that's not even going to be a factor?
Just bear in mind, in the world of 100% EVs, where else is fuel used?
I mean, it will be powering houses, I would assume.
Houses could be on solar, So chances are fuel price will tend upwards in the long run because demand will be so low. We won't. So that means that crude oil, because that's where fuel comes from, mm-hmm. right? Crude mm. oil, we won't have to turn it into petrol anymore.
Mm.
There'll be some refineries that will have to do it. I mean, the fuel will be used for, let's say, racing cars, and there'll be legacy ICE vehicles driving around the world somewhere. But at the end of the day, the demand will fall through the floor. What does that mean? We won't have to create or turn crude oil into fuel or into petrol. Prices have to go up in that world.
Mm.
Because the volumes aren't there, and in the long run, all that will happen is those crude oil companies will drop, and that crude oil will be used in other things. Remember, crude oil is not only used for petrol.
Yeah,
it's used in other things. I think it's even used in rubber. Crude oil is not only used to make petrol. So, it's used to make other things. But the demand will drop and the fuel price will probably go up in the short term at that point, at which point, it'll be just too expensive to even own an EV. But the bigger question is, where's the government going to get the replacement tax on the fuel?
It will be somewhere. Our government's pretty clever.
But this is a phenomenon around the world, right? I mean, it's a tax that's necessary in order to repair the roads. Whether there's corruption or not is beside the point. The tax is necessary in order to keep the road infrastructure up. So that means that is it a case of electricity prices are going to go up in order to compensate? How are governments around the world going to deal with this loss of tax?
For sure.
I don't think it's a question that's been answered yet.
Yeah, we shall. We should definitely start digging into what other, what other countries doing around the world who are at that point,
I don't think there's
and see
anybody
what the
though.
answer is.
I don't think there's anybody that's got there.
Yeah.
Norway, but Norway's such a small place.
Exactly. It's kind of it's not really comparable. Before I leave you, George, so there's the top five selling cars, new cars specifically in South Africa, was the Toyota Hilux, Polo Vivo, Toyota Urban Cruiser, the Ranger, and the Isuzu D-Max. Do you know how much it is to pull them up currently in September?
Well, I
I'm
mean,
going to tell you.
I would
Do you want
imagine,
to take a guess?
no. I mean, the Toyota Hilux, the Urban Cruiser, Ford Ranger, maybe not. No, not the Urban Cruiser. So Toyota Hilux, the buckies of them. So the Toyota Hilux, the Ford Ranger, and the Isuzu, I would imagine, all have 80-liter tanks. And the only reason I know that is because I've driven SUVs in my life and buckies. So I would imagine that 80-liter tanks. And in terms of the table we were looking at a little bit earlier on, probably in the region of 1,800-1,900 rand to fill.
Yes, that's great. Kind of stole my. Yeah, so 1,916 rand for diesel. If you're driving the Hilux, the Range, or the D-Max, that's how much you'll be paying to fill up. If you're driving a petrol Hilux, though, it'll be 1,870. And then the Polo, which has a 45-liter tank, will be just over 1,000 rand, so 1,052. And the Urban Cruiser on 95 unleaded with a 48-liter tank will just be above that at 1,122. So, but a little bit less under 2,000 rand for the Buckies, and for the smaller vehicles, just over 1,000 rand. So keep that in mind when you're shopping for your next car. That's all we have time for.
Coolio.